Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
If my steps aren't being ordered by the Lord, I'm not going to be walking in the right direction. Okay, but then he goes on to say, because the Lord delights in his way. My friend helped me out when I needed help because I helped him out when he needed help back in the day. Okay?
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Man, let me tell you guys something. When you croak and somebody has to stand before a crowd and talk about your life, between now and then, give them some fruit to remove any doubt. Forget about them. What about you? In that service yesterday, there was a dude on the back row named Michael. I hadn't seen Michael in quite a while. I mean, the first time Michael called me, and he said, "Brother Todd, can we take a ride?" I said, "Man, let's go." And we got in my F-150, and we were riding down the road, and he said, "I'm going to tell you something you probably don't know. I smoke a little weed every now and then." And I thought, how stupid do you think I am, man? I've been knowing that for years, bro. But, man, he began to share with me the story of his life and how some choices he'd made recently had ruined his marriage, and it was about to fall apart, but he wanted to save it. And then, he said, "Man, can we take rides every now and then? You just do some counseling with me?" And I said, "Man, I'll talk with you as much as I need to." And really, the truth be known, he was only hanging out with me because he wanted to be able to go home. And said, "I hung out with Brother Todd today," and told his wife, hoping it would make things work. She left anyway. But after a few months, he came to me, and we'd been looking at scriptures. I'd seen him different things, and he came, and he said, "I'm lost, ain't I?" Because, see, he told me, I did that when I was a kid. I prayed a prayer, and I got baptized and all those things. But the more he looked at the scripture, he saw no fruit in his life, and he said, I'm lost, ain't I? I said, what makes you come to that conclusion? He said, "Over here in 1 John 2, where you showed me what the Word of God said, here's how you can know that you know Him: you do what He says." By the way, he says it right in those Bibles of yours, right? 1 John chapter 2. Here's how you can know that you know Him. You're obedient to Him. You listen to, you get your orders from the Lord. Get your orders from the Lord. So this guy said, he said, I ain't never took orders from God. I do what I want to do. Matter of fact, he said, when I went through the emotions as a kid, I was telling God what I wanted Him to do. You take me to heaven when I die, no matter how I live. I mean, that's what we do sometimes. Let me tell you something. That ain't how it works. You're not ever going to come to God and say, "Let's make a deal." Now, some of you in here, you might be some pretty good deal makers, but you ain't going to pull nothing over on Him. Hey, some of us get so stinking good at lying, man, we can lie to ourselves and believe it, but you ain't never tricked Him. And here's what this old boy said. He said, "Man," he said, I ain't legit. I ain't real. I need something real." And this guy cried out to Jesus. And his life began to change. A few weeks later, his wife called me and said, "What's up with him? Something changing about him." And then I spoke to him about baptism. I said, "Hey, man, here's what baptism is. Here's what it represents." And he said the coolest thing to me. He said, "Hey, it ain't that I'm ashamed. It ain't no that." He said, I don't want to get baptized right now, though, because I don't want my wife to think it's a stunt." And I thought, okay, when you get ready, you come see me. He turned around and was walking out of the room. When he got to the other end of the room, right before he went through the door, he stopped. He turned around and said, "I need to be more honest with you." He said, "I need to know it's not a stunt. I need to know it's not a stunt." Hey, here's what the psalmist says. The steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man, the steps of a man that belongs to the Lord, the steps of the valiant man who's walking in what God created him for, they're ordered by the Lord. So here's how you know how, if you're walking right. Where are you getting your orders from? And I've got to get my orders from Jesus Christ the Lord. And look here, man, if you want to hear from God, get in this word. Don't be talking about, I want a word from the Lord, but you're not getting in the word of the Lord. Get in this word and know what he says and know what truth is. And then look at the rest of what the word of God says. He says the steps of a righteous, valiant, warrior kind of man. The man is walking in the path God made for him. These steps are ordered. He gets his orders from God. So that tells us two things. God cares enough to make a plan for you. And if you'll listen to him, you can hear his voice. And then it says this. He says, and he delights in his way. Hey, can you say I have a friend? He delights in his way. If you look at that, if you guys have that open, a lot of the translations, the first he is capitalized. The his is not capitalized. If you look at some other translations, it's obvious because of the original wording. It's talking about, it says, God delights in the way or the path or the walk of the guy who's listening to his orders. Okay? And if God delights in what you're doing, he puts his power to what you're doing. So today I walked in Red River Federal Credit Union, and I walked up to the counter, and I said, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. And there was nobody in the bank but me and three tellers. And I said, I'd like you to give me $12,500. And they looked at me. She said, excuse me? She said, you got an account number that's going to come out of? And so I said, I do. It's 7170. I seen somebody grabbed a pen. No. I gave her my account number. She pulled it up. I said, what's in there? She said, $14,000. I said, whew. I need to withdraw $12,500. She said, can I see some identification? Did I tell you I have a friend? I pulled out my driver's license, and I laid it on the counter. And she looked at me, and she looked at it, and she said, sir, where do you work? And I got thinking, this ain't going to sound right. I said, First Baptist Church in Redwater. And all three of them tellers looked at me like, dang, them preachers make some money. So for some reason, my prideful self, I wasn't going to let them think that was what was up. So I said, hey, let me tell y'all girls something. I got a friend. And here's what happened. About a month ago, I needed to buy a car. And the only way I could do it was to borrow against my retirement fund. And it takes a while to do that. And so I had to have the car before I had to go on this trip, and because the money, my loan couldn't come through fast enough for me to get on this trip, I realized, man, I got to do something if I'm going to be able to take my family to see my grandson for his first birthday. And then I remembered, you got a friend. I got a friend. This friend lives the other side of New Boston. First time I met him, he was in trouble. He and I spent a day together in a combine, and I listened to his sob story as he shared with me how he had blown everything, messed up everything. Tomorrow he's filing bankruptcy, about to lose all his farm, all his tractors and everything, and he did. Totally broke, about 19 years ago. But then he came, his daddy was a preacher, but he got sick of church and church people and got sick of God and ran from him for years. But in that next year, he surrendered his life to the Lord again, and God has turned that guy's life around. And now I don't have a clue what all God has done, but all I know is this. I got a friend, and he ain't bankrupt no more. And I called him a couple of weeks ago. He told me today when I handed him that $12,500. By the way, the teller said, you want this in a check? I said, no. I want it some green. I wanted some $100 bills, man. Roll it out, baby. She's like, okay. So she counted that, man. I ain't got to do that very many times in my life. But those tellers behind, I said, listen, here's why I got this kind of money in my account. Because I got a friend. See, and my friend, I went to my friend and I said, I need this money. Can I borrow $12,500 from you for about 4 weeks? And he'd pay you back. He said, oh, sure. So he wrote me a check for $12,500. And I went over to his bank and cashed it on his account. And I carried that $12,500, and I bought that vehicle. And when I got back from my little vacation trip, that loan had come through and it was sitting in my account. And my wife said, you better hair up and get that $12,500 out of there before we start spending it and give it back to that man. And I said, you're right about that. And so today, when I walked up here, I said, the only reason it's in here is because I got a friend who loaned me this money. And when I said that, all three of them tellers looked at me like, what? You got a friend loan you $12,500? You got a friend. I said, you see why I want to treat him right. I want to get this back to him while I still got it up in this account. And they said, I'll be wanting to treat that friend right too. Let me tell you something. $12,500 ain't nothing. I got a friend. I have a debt. Everybody's got a story. Even the preacher. Even the best guy you've ever known. I got a debt too big for me to be able to pay, but I got a friend in Jesus. And because of who he is and what he's done, there's nothing that's too big for him to overcome in my life or your life. And you can have a friend. Some of you got a friend and you know it. Some of you sitting here thinking, I wish I had some friends like your friends. But listen, you can have this friend. And money's nothing. Money's nothing. Don't get me wrong. I don't have a lot of it. I seldom have much of it at all. But I got everything I've ever needed. But more than that, I've got what he's given me here. Because, see, I got a friend. And he's made it all right. Now, here's what I want you to hear real quick. We try to wrap this up and bring this home for me and bring this home for you. Listen to what the rest of this passage says, the word of the Lord. He said, the steps of a good man. If you want to be a good man, how do you get there? Man, you get your orders from the Lord. You get your orders from the Lord. You hear him. You seek him. You listen for him. Even when 40,000 voices are screaming other things in other directions, you get in this word. You get a hold of the Spirit of God. You listen to, you know you're hearing the right voice, and be obedient when you hear him speak. And then you'll be the good man because your steps are ordered by the Lord. That lets us know this. If my steps aren't being ordered by the Lord, I'm not going to be walking in the right direction. Okay, but then he goes on to say, because the Lord delights in his way. My friend to help me out when I needed help because I helped him out when he needed help back in the day. Okay, listen, but God just used him in my life. God just used me in his life. But listen, I got four boys and a little girl. And when I tell them what to do and they do it, it pleases me. And when I see them doing something that I delight in, I'm going to help them with it. And if you want some help from above, walk the way he's calling you to walk. So I got a phone call. I got a message from Atlanta, Georgia, three nights ago from somebody in my family. Said, you ever feel like God hates you? It's a suicide note I get. He's in a motel room in Atlanta, Georgia. You ever feel like God hates you? Because that's exactly how I feel. Ain't nothing going right. You know why nothing's going right? Because for 30 years, he's run from God. Don't think you're going to keep telling him no. And he's not going to love you enough to get you in a place to turn you around. He can't delight in your way when your way's not lined up with his way. Don't think he's going to bless you. And by the way, when you ain't walking in his way and something happens to you, you think it's a blessing, it wasn't from God. Let me tell you, there's some ways people get, quote, blessed in this world because maybe they fell into some money here or there. And listen, if you're not walking in his way, a blessing you get didn't come from God because he ain't delighting in your way and he ain't putting his power to you. But when he puts his power to you, there's no end to what he can do in and through your life. And so he says, man, here, the good man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. The Lord delights in his way. And verse 24 says, though he fall. I like that it says, though he fall. Some translations, by the way, say, though he stumble. Hey, look here. How many of y'all have been dumb enough to fall more than once? Hey, look, though he fall, I had never met anybody that gets it all right all the time. If when you name the name of Christ, you immediately get everything right all the time, there wouldn't be the necessity of scriptures like the ones that say this, quench not the Spirit of God. If it were not possible to quench his Spirit, it wouldn't be in there a command to not quench it. There wouldn't be a verse that says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It wouldn't have to be there if it was automatic. Listen, we got to make a choice to listen to the right voice. We got to make a choice to hear Him. You got to make a choice to obey. But then when I do that, He puts His power to it. And the promise is, though he fall, though I stumble, though he mess up, though he fall, God says, I'll never let you fall so far and so hard that you can't recover. And it's not that you can't recover. It's that He can't recover you. He can't recover you. So here's what happens. For the one who's looking to the Lord, and I'm trying to hear Him, but I still stumble every now and then because there's so many noises around. And sometimes I ain't listening just right. And sometimes I'm just a root head. But if in my heart I'm really seeking after Him and I want to listen to Him and follow Him, that Christ is really Lord, His hand is going to have me. Look what it says in the last part of the verse. Man, this ain't me, this is Him. He delights in His way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. The Lord upholds him with His hand. Hey, what time we got in here? Oh, yeah. Got a trampoline in my yard. My kids used to love the trampoline. But my wife said, we ain't getting a trampoline without one of them cages around it. And I told her, I said, man, that ain't cool. She said, it needs to be safe. And I said, if it's safe, it ain't fun. We got a cage. And, man, I got under the trampoline because my kids are like, Daddy, bounce me. And I figured out if you're on the trampoline with your kids, if you land at just the right time, phew. So I got to watching how that works, the tension on the tarp. And I thought, wait a minute. I bet this would really work if I get under the trampoline. So I did. I got under the trampoline. And I watched my kids, and I would time them. See, they'd go up, and when they'd come down, I figured out just the right time to put my legs on the bottom of that tarp and just exert all I had on the bottom of that tarp to create the right pressure. And see, then my weight's not retarding the tarp from above. I'm just helping from the bottom. And the first time I did it, my son said, do me first, Daddy. Try it out on me. And I said, get on up there, boy. And he went to bouncing. He jumped up. I was waiting for the time, And when he went down, he started coming back up, and I threw it to it. Man, he went about 18 feet. Up and woo, he said, yeah. And then he came down. Do it again. Man, they're having so much fun. The neighbor's kid was down the road. Seeing, you know, we had a fence around the backyard, and we had a trampoline with the cage around it, and all they're seeing is whole bodies come above the side of that little cage. Woo! And man, the neighbor's kid, she's a little bitty old girl, she's like a bean pole, skinny kid. She gets up there and she didn't realize. Man, she said, try me. Well, she was just all adventurous. And man, when she got on that thing, I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. We only did that one time. Hey, but my legs got in great shape because every day the kid said, bounce me, Daddy. Because here's what they liked. They liked for them to exert what little bit of energy they had, but for more power to be thrown into their bounce than they could possibly exert on their self. Because, see, their power was not coming from their own self. Their power was coming from another source, me, Father. And while I watched the power exerted on them, I pulled them off. I said, let me tell you, this is what your life will be like. By the way, in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, the apostles, they got a story, man. They have seen some things. They heard Jesus talk. They saw Him walk. They saw the miracles. And then they heard Him start talking about, I got to go away. I'm going to die. And they were messed up about it. They said, no, you can't do that. And He said, no, you don't understand. I got to go away. He told them at one point, He said, he that believes in me, the works that I do, will he do in greater works than these, because I go to my Father. And then later on He says, if I don't go to the Father, I can't send the Comforter. But if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And here's what He was teaching them. What He was teaching them was, I'm not done. Only I've been limited to one body, this Jesus, while He's here on the earth. But he was crucified, dead, buried for our sins, according to the Scripture, resurrected on the third day. He ascended up, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father, currently where He intercedes for you and I. But He sent down the Holy Ghost. He sent His Holy Spirit to come, that Comforter. And what happened, these apostles, you can read about it in Acts 4:33. It says, with great power, with great power they did testify of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was on them all. You know why they could do it with great power? They couldn't do it before the resurrection, before the Spirit came, because they didn't have power. All they had was themselves. All they had was the ability to make a decision. All they had was the ability to make a commitment. Listen, I've heard a lot of people say, I made a decision for Jesus. You ain't never made a decision for Jesus. He don't need you to make decisions for him. We heard people say, I made Jesus Lord. Nobody ever made Jesus Lord. He's Lord whether you made him Lord or not. What really happened at some point, you acknowledge who he is and begin to follow him. You begin to get your orders from above, and that changes everything. And so these guys with great power, why do they have great power? Because now they got the power of the resurrected Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God inside them. Until you get that, you can make up your mind 10,000 times, I'm going to be better, act better, do better, and you ain't going to do it because you can't. You can't. Hey, it's tough enough because of the battle with our flesh when I got him, because I'm still pretty root-headed sometimes. And I can be rebellious. Somebody, I seen a deal the other day. Somebody said, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven, to go to heaven? And this lady said, man, you need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart anymore. But the reality is this. You ain't getting in heaven without a miracle from God Almighty. But Jesus is the miracle. With great power, they testified. You know why they testified? They gave testimony. Some of y'all probably been in a courtroom before. Matter of fact, a while ago, we back at the back, when David said, I don't know what all you said because he and I were talking back. David said, put one hand up like this. Put the other hand up like this. Somebody been in this position before. Hey, look. If you be surrendering to the right orders, you don't have to surrender to the other authorities. Because the ultimate authority will give you favor with God and man. And that's the only way you get that. These guys only had power because they surrendered to Jesus Christ. And they began to get their orders from him. With great power, they testify. Why did they testify? You can't testify unless you saw it for yourself. They're not telling somebody else's story. They're telling their own story. They're not telling, somebody told us that he came back. Somebody told us that he resurrected. No, I saw it, they said. And look, you'll never have the Christian walk based on somebody else's experience. It's got to be you and Jesus. And you'll never enter into what God created you for until you come to surrender and say, I want to take my orders from you. By the way, if you ever went through any emotion, as a human being, trying to get yourself into heaven and keep yourself from hell, and that motion didn't include repenting from your sin, acknowledging you're jacked up, acknowledging I fall short of the glory of God, turning from your sin and saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to get my orders from you. If you never came to a place to surrender to him as Lord where you said, whatever you say, that's what goes from now, and I turn and repent from my sin, you didn't get saved. Because you don't get saved apart from repentance and surrendering to Jesus Christ as Lord. But when you get saved, guess what happens? It may only be one, but poop, a pair is going to show up. Because he's not going to get inside you and it not affect you. With great power, they testified to the resurrection of Jesus. And then it says, and great grace was on them all. Great grace was on them all, just like in this passage in Psalms where it says, the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hey, what you need? We're gonna have a good week all week long. But if you trust in the guys that show up in here with some instruments or a microphone to give you what you need, you're gonna need another pep rally next week. Get your orders from above. Get your orders from above. Father, Lord, we confess confess that we have a tendency to listen to the wrong voices, whether it's the world's voice or our own voice. But God, we also confess that you're the one that gave us the ability to hear. And so I want to pray for some of these guys tonight. God, for all of us tonight. All of us. Lord, we see what you said in your word, the steps of a warrior. The steps of a valiant man. The steps of a man that God calls the man's man. Must be ordered by the Lord. And so, Father, I pray for men in this room right now who'd be as honest enough with themselves just to confess I've never really come to a place in life where I was willing to say what you want and nothing else. I surrender all. I give you everything. I want to turn from my selfishness. I want to turn from my self-centeredness. I want to turn from my self-sufficiency. And I want to just trust you alone. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when you laid our sin on Jesus, Lord, you laid it all on him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that when you unleashed your wrath and fury on your son on the cross, God, you did it as an open demonstration of your seriousness about my sin. And thank you that Jesus fully received all of your wrath towards my sin and the sin of everyone who would cry out and say, Jesus, you are worthy and you are Lord and you are my friend. Father, Lord, I thank you for temporary friends you put in my life on this world, but thank you more than anything else that you've got an account set up. You've got an account set up, Lord, where every provision for everything I'm ever going to need has always been taken care of in Christ. And I pray for men in this room who've never known what it's like to have the assurance that your hand is holding them up. So, Father, in Jesus' name, would you give us grace to say yes to you tonight?
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.